I want to thank Mike for filling in and trusting me. I only made one slide boo-boo, and I thank you, Mike, for bearing with me. I want to welcome all of our guests this morning. I am not the preacher here. I'm not the regular preacher here. I'm the irregular preacher here, I guess. Anyway, Jeff's not feeling well, and he is having some pain, and we need to make sure that we keep Jeff in our prayers, and Cindy and John and the whole family. And we're blessed with Jeff, and I hate to preach, because that means that Jeff's not here, or someone else, and Jeff's not here, and so we want to keep Jeff in our prayers. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So the lesson this morning has to do with that, and has to do with our faith. And so if we were going to do a little checkup from the neck up, as Zig Ziglar talks about, and just kind of find out where we are. A lot of times where we think we are is not where we are. And I've often said to Janine, I said, if you don't think that something that I've decided on is right, well, you can ask me about it, and I'll let you know that, you know, it is right, even when it's wrong. So a lot of times our own impressions about us is certainly different than others, regretfully, a God against what God's impression is. I want to tell you that I'm really impressed with the latest round of AT&T commercials. I don't know if any of you have seen them, but I really like the message that they get across, and I like the way they do it. A gentleman walks into an automotive repair shop, and he asks him, he asks the mechanic, he says, hey, how are you guys with brakes? And the guy says, oh, we're okay. And I find it interesting that the guy's using a hammer doing the brake job. And so the fellow says to him, he says, just okay? And the guy says, yeah. He said, well, we got a saying around here, if the brakes don't stop you, something will. And so, you know, you stop and think about it, is something being okay, okay? They have another one where the nurse is asked, you know, is the doctor okay? Yeah, he's okay. And so the whole theory of all of their commercials have to do with, is okay, okay? Well, I'm here to say that just like the commercials, just okay is not okay. And so we need to find out what is okay in our service to God. The real important question here, reading about a survey that a preacher gave to his congregation, and he asked him, how's your spiritual walk with the Lord? And so here were the results. There were the smallest number said it was good. Then a few more said it could be better. Then others said, nah, it's kind of up and down. Shockingly, the greatest number of responses were those who said, yeah, it's okay. And to that I say, really? How could you as a Christian, a person wanting to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, say, ah, my walk is, yeah, it's okay? Are you and I satisfied with our walk with God being just okay? And more importantly, the question comes, do you think God's okay with our walk being with him? That's just okay. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, John wrote, I know your deeds. He's referring to the church at Laodicea. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That is really a graphic and a strong statement. So as this morning, I want all of us in the audience, I want us all to give some thought. How is our walk with God? Is it hot? Is it cold? He says here, you are about to make me sick. I mean, I want you to stop, and I want this to sink in. The definition of lukewarm is neither hot nor cold. But for the purposes of our lesson and our thinking this morning, I'd like for us to understand that Satan wants us to be lukewarm, to where serving God is done in such a way that it doesn't offend the devil. They stop and think about that. Being lukewarm is serving God in such a way that you don't upset Satan. Wow. I mean, that is a huge statement. And I wish that in the points that you get this morning and you take away from the lesson is, what's your service to God like? Is it hot? Should be. Or is it cold? Or is it lukewarm? You don't want to offend anybody, and certainly not the devil. C.S. Lewis wrote that Christianity, if false, is of no importance at all. And if it's true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important.
Amen.
You're either one way or the other. And so the point is really well made. Another passage or another quote from someone said, fire on the inside affects everything on the outside. Fire on the inside affects everything on the outside. You know those people. You know those people that when you meet them, you just can't help, but when you're around them, they get you excited. And they get you, turned on, and they get you all revved up for whatever it is. Great salesmen are that way. The old saying says they could sell ice to Eskimos. And it has to do with that fire on the inside, that passion that's on the inside. And we find that Jeremiah was that way. In Jeremiah 20 in verse 9, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is like, in my heart is like a fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I can't. So here's a graphic biblical illustration of where a fire on the inside affected everything on the outside. Think in your own mind, going through the Bible, people that were that way, in the New Testament, people that were around others, they had to be affected. I think of the Apostle Paul is one that comes to my mind specifically. During the war, the Allied command, Supreme Commander of Allied Forces in Europe was quoted for saying this. They were asking about, what weapons do we have to fight? The most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire. The most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire. How many of us can think back to World War II when, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, people lined up in droves to join up, to go defend the country, and to go fight for what they knew to be right. And so it is when people make choices of many things in their lives, the choices that they make because it comes from a deep inside feeling or a deep inside commitment causes them to make choices and to be successful or ardently serve, passionately serve when they go about in fulfilling and following through with the decision that they make. The term passion is defined as a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement. Passion is an intense, strong, and barely controllable emotion. It's a compelling enthusiasm or desire for something or for someone. Passion is what makes things so successful in people's lives. I think of, as I think of people that were great people in history, I think of Albert Einstein, for one. Albert Einstein was quoted as saying, I've got no special talents. I'm just passionately curious. I was always that way as a little kid. I was always passionately curious about what made things work. And I got myself in hot water more times than I can share about the fact that I had things taken apart. I just couldn't get them back together. But it's that passion that drives us. And this is what I'm talking about and I want us all to think about this morning is passion that drives us and further commits us in doing anything at all. Another item is that passion often separates the difference between success and failure. Nothing great in the world has been accomplished without passion. So instead of going into something half-hearted, if we have passion and we keep that passion going, the success is far greater than a case where we just kind of were kicking tires. Let me ask you, I know you believe this. 10 days ago, that was February 14th, how many of you gave a reminder to someone that you care about that you care for them? How about those of you who are married? When you ask your wife, or wives, when you accepted the offering, how many of you were committed when you said, "Would you marry me?" I mean, it's just ridiculous. Can you imagine, I think of the Geico commercial where the guy there at their wedding and the guy is, you know, singing a song thinking about riding his motorcycle. You know? How many of you, when you ask your wives to marry you, did you just kind of say, "Yeah, you're okay. I'd like to, yeah, maybe spend some time with you"? That's the problem in today's world. We've got people who don't know how to make commitments and follow through with those commitments. You know, their spouse, because of problems that come along and pitfalls and difficulties, that okay attitude turns into one where they're ready to throw everything away. Commitment makes a difference. Passion makes a difference in our lives. Nothing great in life is ever sustained without passion. So I want to think about that for just a second. Nothing in life is ever sustained without passion. Something that causes you in those tough times to keep pushing through. Let's look at a few just to jog our minds. Passion energizes life. Passion makes the impossible possible. Passion gives us a reason to get up in the morning. It keeps us from being bored and life being monotonous. It's what mobilizes armies into action. It's what causes explorers to boldly go where no man has gone before. It's what causes scientists to spend late nights trying to find a cure to some dreaded disease. Passion makes a good athlete a great athlete. Passion drives and sustains the Christian walk. Those are all true statements. And somewhere in all of those, we find ourselves as being able to relate it, or certainly being able to comprehend better what passion really is. There's no better time to think about our passion in our Christian walk than the first day of the week when we meet together. Sadly, too many people who claim to be Christians in the world today feel like Sunday is where they go to get charged up. And they leave and say, "That was okay." So what causes that? Why is it that someone doesn't come and then leave feeling that passion burning in their heart? We need to stop and we need to consider that. What about you this morning? Do you find yourself ever being in that situation where you go to service and you leave and it's like, "Nah, it was okay"? Because it shouldn't ought to be that way. Amen?
Amen.
Church, here it is this morning. A Christian life lived correctly and to its fullest takes passion. A Christian life lived correctly and to its fullest takes passion. That's for all of us. Somebody says, well, I'm just not a very passionate guy. I don't believe that at all. Because there are things that we all can find in our lives that we're passionate about. A man came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And really what he's saying is, what is it that should really motivate my life? And he answered, and it's recorded in Mark 12 and verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The key word in all of those things is all. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. When you love your wife with all of your heart, you've got nothing else to give to anyone else that really belongs to her. Amen. Let me ask you. I hate to keep going back to it, but if it was your anniversary and you remembered, would you do that because of the passion that you feel for your spouse? Somebody says, well, I'm just not a very passionate person. That's just not so. There are things that we care about, we are passionate about, we feel strongly about in all of our lives. I'm not talking about somebody who says, I'm not passionate as in, I'm not, you know, lovey-dovey. I'm not very demonstrative. I'm not a cuddly, huggy type person. That's not what passion is. Passion is that commitment that in tough times, as well as top of the world times, that thing that is inside of you, that drives you. I hope that some of these illustrations, something can come across to us to where we can, the light can come on and we can see that, oh, yeah, you know what? I need to be more passionate. I need to be more committed. The number one thing that Jesus said is to love God passionately. That's what our life and that's what our walk should be. It should be a passionate walk. And when we leave, when people see us, even in worship, and we're singing and they glance around and they see you, they should see someone that is having a passionate experience, a committed experience, an experience that they feel in their heart for what they know about. And we'll get to that in just a second. But that's the way God always wanted it. And this wasn't just Jesus's comment that off the wall or while he's here, he'll say it. But we read in Deuteronomy, thank you for the reading this morning, by the way, Scott. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. This is the Shema, as the Jews recognize. It's the Hear, O Israel prayer that they practice even today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. It's nothing new. It's what God wanted from the very beginning. It's why God created mankind. And he created a people that he wanted a people to worship him and honor him. And he wanted to be their God. And he wanted them to be his people, his children. What a beautiful picture that paints. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 and 23, says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Whatever you do, let's turn and read the setting or the context in that passage. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dear loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through songs and hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Oh, this passage has got so much. We could spend the rest of the morning on it. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Look at all these descriptive words in this passage. Teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom from psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. How about you this morning? Are you a grateful person? How do you feel about that which God gave in his only son and his son had to experience because of his love for us? No half-hearted stance or position there. Like I said, who does something half-hearted? So it's do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the passage literally is saying, do all according to the authority of Jesus. Do all according to the standard of Jesus. And he's laid out up here all of the ways in which we would do that. So let me ask you, if Jesus set the standard for that, if he set the standard for how he wants us to go about our walk, would it be half-hearted? Was he ever half-hearted about anything that he did? He knew that he had a role. He knew that he had a purpose. And with that purpose was the passion because of his love for his Father to follow through. Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You know, the old saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. You and I need to make a decision to follow through with a decision that we made earlier in our lives. We need to follow through and return to that passionate walk that we walked years ago. In Matthew chapter 12, and verse 34, Jesus says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. They call that today, in today's world, a Freudian slip. How you really feel about something. And it shouldn't be just, it's okay. It should be a committed, a driven, a heartfelt, deep-seated commitment. So let me ask you this morning, what consumes your mind? What controls your life? We all have things in our life that we are consumed with. When it comes to NCAA football, I don't think any of us have a doubt where Gary Maine's where his allegiance lies. He follows the Huskies. And there are people that are so committed to that. I'm a Husky fan. Okay, we'll mention the Cougars. Got to give equal time here. But people that are committed, they've got license plates, you know, vanity plates that show where they feel. How about the NFL? Of course, anytime the Seahawks are playing, we see people wearing Seahawk number 12 shirts. We see them as fans. And Major League Baseball, yes, I can't forget Sue and the rest of her group that follow the Mariners. So people are so committed. Sometimes, in fact, you'd say, well, they're kind of nutty, you know? I mean, this is nothing. And I'm sure that you've all seen some of the way that fans behave, some of the things they wear, how they dress, and how they behave, because they're ardent, driven Seahawk fans. See, we get a clear picture of that. You know, sadly, today, we see passion about everything, sports, politics, food. We even see people that are passionate about sin. Sadly, it's not politically correct for us to be passionate about God and our relationship to Him and His Son. Isn't that sad?
Amen.
But that's all the more reason and all the more justification for why we as Christians, instead of having the whatever attitude that's so prevalent in the world today, we need to be more committed and more driven to love the Lord our God with everything that we have. We stop and ask ourselves, why was Paul's ministry so vibrant and so successful? Paul always was, he was a Jew of the Jews. His background and his training. And Paul was kind of a committed guy, whatever he decided to do. In Romans chapter 12, it's another passage. It's filled with key points. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, and he had just been talking about that in the 11th chapter, about God is so merciful, and he extended his grace and his mercy to the Gentiles, and that's what Paul was talking to here. He says to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, the Lord, he's not asking for dead followers. He wants living followers. He wants followers that have no other choice. Their commitment won't let them do anything but to ardently follow him. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship.
Amen.
So somebody thinks, well, did you go to worship this week? Yeah, I was there Sunday. No. What about all the other days? See, our lives should be full of worship. If our lives are full of worship, what do you think our Sunday service would be? It's just an outgrowth of what we've done all week long. Could someone get me a water, please? Thank you, Lee. I'm sorry, I'm exceptionally dry. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so it is. Here's the secret to Paul's success. Was he didn't let the world conform him, but he was wanting to be transformed into what God wanted him to be. In the same chapter, down at verse 11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The key here is that we are to be never lacking in zeal. Never. See, those lulls in our Christian life, that's when Satan is most active. Satan, again, wants us to serve God in such a way, it just doesn't offend him, doesn't get him upset. That kind of life is what does get us in trouble. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, says, I consider, this is, again, one of Paul's keys to why he was his ministry was so successful. His 20 years of service to God, the way he carried it out. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul was successful. Paul was extremely successful in his ministry because he was able to stay focused with passion on his priorities and his purpose in this life. Note the focus that Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul, in his service to God, Paul in his ministry, Paul in his walk, he didn't just go and go through paces and go through motions. Paul had a reason for what he did. He didn't just aimlessly go about his life. When he got out of bed, he had something to do that day. He had a reason for being alive that day, and he wanted to make sure and fulfill it. Paul says, I don't box as one just beating the air, you know? I discipline my body and keep it under control. Paul wanted to be that committed person 24 hours a day. And so these were the secrets of Paul. And these should be things that we can walk after. Passion, zeal, fervor, and focus. These were not automatic. They were choices that Paul made and choices that you and I have to make every single day. And when we're not making those choices every single day, we open the door for Satan to come in and to pour water on the fire. And so it is that, for the sake of a lack of a better term, we call things in our lives that do that passion killers. Passion killers. You know, again, we go back to the marriage relationship. What are some things that disappoint you in your spouse? Are they things that you dwell on and the bitterness grows and the coldness grows and the distance grows? That's why God is so specific. When we have an issue in our life with someone else, don't go to bed with it and let it go. Go and fix it. Go and stoke up that flame. Go and keep that fire burning bright. Satan wants us to let things be whatever. Pride kills passion. That's one of the things that kills passion. In Proverbs 16 and verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. God hates a proud look. What is a proud look? You know, what is there you can go and look in the mirror and say, oh, that's a proud look. What is it? What we feel on the inside is what people can see on the outside. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the first three, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who have emptied their cup. There's nothing of themselves. And because their cup is now empty, they've given up all of themselves. Blessed are those that mourn. Mourning our own sinfulness and our own emptiness, the fact that we've given that up. Blessed are the meek. Those willing to submit to the will of God. Meekness is not some mousy, some hide in the corner. Meekness means given up to someone else, given up to something greater. And that our attitude toward each other should be such that we give up ourselves and our wishes for the other person. These are the things that make the attitude right that we should be having for the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And so as Satan goes about finding any way and every way he can to put our fire out, it's something he works at nonstop, 24/7. He wants us to be passionate in such a way that really it's a lukewarmness that doesn't even offend him. If we were to make a list, we don't have time this morning to go over a long list. I just wanted to point out a couple here, and there's many others. Difficult circumstances, being complacent, an unbalanced lifestyle can be a passion killer, where we are so committed and driven in our job that we're working so many hours that we're physically just tired, we're worn out, and we don't have time to develop that fire that God wants us to have as we walk. So in this passage in Philippians chapter 2, when we see that Jesus gave up, and we know that the end result was, or no better way can we see Jesus' passion than as he washed the disciples' feet. So really, the point that I want to make at this junction of the lesson is, in 2019, are we willing to wash feet? Are we willing to wash one another's feet? The Bible is very clear that we cannot have a healthy passion for God unless we have a passion for God's others, caring for other people. In Matthew 25, then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And so it takes us right back to the comment that we can't have a healthy passion for God unless we have a passion for God's others. Biblical humility is serving the Jesus in other people. Biblical humility is serving the Jesus in other people. Another saying, you can't be right with God and wrong with your fellow man. If we are out of sync, if we're out of service with our brother or sister, then we're out of service with our God. And so we need to stoke that fire. In Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, another one of these passages has tons of points in it. Be devoted to one another. Think about that. Be devoted to one another. Not just, he's okay. Oh, Harold, he's whatever, he's okay. Be devoted to one another in brotherly affection. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The word devotion here, it would be like a devotion that you might feel towards your children. Always wanting the best for them. Going over and beyond, above and beyond, and pushing yourself in time, in commitments, and in efforts, because your devotion to your child, or maybe as your parent gets older, and you're devoted to them in doing everything that you can as they had done earlier for you in their life. Brotherly affection, the Philadelphia, the affection for the fellow believers. I always love pictures of family reunions. I hold Hispanic people in such a huge regard because of the great example that they are of families and closeness. I think it's something that we as Americans need to get back to. That's where we used to be. But that brotherly affection, that family love that over the years has developed deep roots. We know each other really well. And we know each other so well that we're able to help one another. It's not a because I said so relationship. Yes, we'll have family squabbles. Yes, there'll be potholes in our walk and how we handle them. But you see, if we're following this passage in Romans 12, we see that honor one another above yourselves. We won't have a lasting negative effect in our relationship because we honor others. And then it says, never be lacking in zeal. When our zeal meter gets low, we do something about it. Keep your spiritual passion. How do we do that? In serving one another. In serving one another. Somebody says, you know, I just don't feel as close as I used to with a certain person. Then you need to find some way to serve them. It's in that service that we keep our fervor. We keep our zeal going. We find here that humility and serving others versus it being pride and all about me. That's decisions and choices that you and I, we do make. We have to make daily. And we do make as we're faced with these. I don't see a better example in humility and serving as John 13:15. I've set an example that you should do as I've done for you in washing feet. And we get back to the question, are you really ready to wash feet in 2019? Or the attitude in this cartoon here, you know, the world just isn't meeting my needs right now. It's all about me. And in today's whatever selfish world that Satan has led so many to, they've forgotten that it's humility and service that what makes this country what it was today and what makes a Christian's life what it should be. It's all about making a choice for life and then renewing it daily. See, it's a choice that when we made a commitment to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, then every day is just a renewal. Don't lose heart. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Jesus chose you and I, brothers and sisters, friends, in humility. We need to stop Satan from robbing us of our fire and passion for God. We need to make a decision and make a commitment to give up the pride and begin serving others. This is a battle that goes on in our lives every day. Passion and purpose. There has to be a balance. Passion is what is driven from the heart. That fire and our purpose and our knowledge of knowing what God put us here for and making sure that those work in harmony to drive us. Passion is so hard to measure, you know? It's like you can't just, there's no meter that you can, you know, you can check and see what your passion level is. But you know when you have it, and you know when you don't. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you know in your deepest heart whether or not you have the passion that you should be having. Passion isn't something that just, once you have it, that's it, and it just stays with you. Passion is like a fire. When you let it go and leave it unattended, it'll burn out, and so will our passion. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." This is the thing that we need to keep stoked. And literally, the Greek word for fan into flame literally is a word that describes something that you're working at. You're doing whatever it needed to keep it going. Stirring it up. In Leviticus chapter 6. Meanwhile, I found this really interesting verse. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. The priest shall put on fresh wood each morning and lay the daily burnt offering on it and burn the fat of the daily peace offering. The fire must be kept burning upon the altar continually. It must never go out. I found that really interesting. The fire was never to go out. In Romans chapter 12, Paul said, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So now we put that in light of God never wanted the fire to go out on the altar so they could always offer those sacrifices. And God wants us to offer sacrifices. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continually. It's never to go out. Let me ask you something this morning as we near the end of the lesson. Are you tending the fire of passion that God intends to be burning in your heart to serve Him? Or is it something you just kind of, you know, let happen, whatever? It takes effort to keep the fire going. And another question, what's draining you of your spiritual passion for God? One of the things that we can do is resist Satan's attempt to put our fire out and to render us apathetic. Fellowship with people who encourage and inspire us with passion. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage one another with these words. Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Resist Satan's attempts to entice us away. This passage in Deuteronomy 11 was our reading passage this morning. When it says to be careful that you're not enticed to turn away from God and worship others so that the Lord's anger won't burn against you. And what do we do to avoid that? Verses 18 through 21 says, fix these words in your hearts and minds. Tie them as a symbol on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you walk the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. It's everywhere all the time. And by doing that, we're able to keep Satan's enticements away. In conclusion, I want to give you 6 daily helps to keep your fire burning bright. Number 1, worship God. Again, we referred to that earlier. Worship isn't just a Sunday morning, Sunday night thing. Every single day, as we're driving along, think of thoughts and songs. Sing songs of how good God has been to you. Read His Word. Let me tell you, it's never too late to begin a daily Bible reading program. Amen? If you're not following through what the elders set us on last year, then you need to be. Every day, reading God's Word. Number 3, frequent prayer. Speak with God during the day. You know, it says pray without ceasing. Somebody says, how in the world could you pray without ceasing? You know what? You'll find the more you pray, the more you enjoy it, and the more things you'll think of to pray about. Number 4, make time for fellowship. Quality time. Soul sharing time. Pray time. There's so many benefits we have in today's world to make time to serve. Look for ways to help others, to be active and passionate. We can text people, email them, call them while we're driving, use the hands free. And just call someone. If you got 10 minutes, call them and say, oh, just thinking of you. Number 6, look to share Jesus. You know, reading God's Word is like blowing up a balloon. The more you read and the more you take in, that balloon gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And when it pops, it's a way in which we can share with others what we found. So again, just a reminder, the preacher that took the survey, are you and I okay with our walk with God just being okay? More importantly, is God pleased with our walk with Him being just okay? And so I'd ask you this morning, if you believe that Jesus is God's Son, if you believe that Jesus loved us enough to die for us, I want to invite you this morning to come, to make a decision to start this year right in faith, repentance, and New Testament baptism. Is your fire not as hot as it once was? Maybe that fire wasn't stoked and kept fueled with more wood. This morning, you can make a decision to rekindle it, to commit to serve God by serving others in His name. And so the invitation this morning is for all of us to ignite or to rekindle our passion for God today like it once used to. If there's any way that we can help any of you, Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?